Thing to do with my song. Not nothing. But I am blessed. Well, I guess maybe it does.
Acts in the ninth chapter, verse number 5. So good to see you here this evening. Amen. We're talking about rebellion tonight. That's the name of a rebellion. Amen. It's not so much hard on rebellion, but it is talking about rebellion. You know, before we came to the Lord, that's what made us sinners, because we was rebelling. Amen. And we lived years in rebellion, did we not? Amen? We did. And let me just read this scripture and pray and we'll get into it. Acts in the ninth chapter and verse number 5. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening for who you are. We ask God that you touch our hearts and our minds to receive this word. Lord, help us, Lord, to have the anointing to deliver it in the way that you would have it to be delivered. God, that it would help us, Lord, and heal us, make us strong in you. We love you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Here is a familiar story of Paul, and all of you know this in here, I would imagine, on the road to Damascus, and it's Paul's conversion. And the Lord meets him here, and he's telling him that it's hard for him to kick against the pricks. And what he's talking about is the Word of God. You know, when we're in sin, and the reason sinners have such a hard time, they're kicking against the pricks. They're kicking against the Word of God. Amen. All the time we're sinning, we're kicking against the Word of God. And the Word of God is, like he said in Hebrews 4 and 12, he said, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's like someone holding a sharp, long sword, and you're trying to fight them, kicking against that sword, and all they're doing is standing there. And you think you're wearing them down all the time, you're just bloodying your own self. Amen? It's hard to kick against a sharp, pointed thing. That's the prick. That's what he's talking about, like a briar is a prick. And so that's what the Lord is talking about here. And when we are having rebellion in our life is when we're in sin. And sometimes because we're still in the flesh, rebellion can come up in our lives and we can actually kick against the Word of God. Amen. And when we do, we're not hurting the Word of God. It's only hurting us. Amen. Because the Word of God is the sword and it's sharp and we can't dull it. Amen. It cannot be dulled. And so the sooner we learn that to adhere to the Word of God and to line up with the Word of God and to conform to the Word of God, the better life we have. Amen? Amen. We do. We say, what is rebellion? Rebellion is a fight against government. Amen. That's rebellion. It's a fight against government. You say, well, is the Bible a government? Yeah. Remember what it said in Isaiah? The government shall be upon his shoulders. Amen. This is a government. This is an authority. Amen. And this is a kingdom, if you will, the kingdom of God. He says rebellion is a fight against a government, a fight against authority. Remember all the way back in Genesis, there with Adam and Eve, where God told them, touch not, right? Touch not of that tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, amen? So they did, amen? They disobeyed. They rebelled against authority, amen? It's something about people that they get along fine with you till you start telling them that you're going to have to do this. And they say, no, rebellion comes up and you're not telling me. Don't you have that problem with your children? As long as you're saying yes to them and they do anything. But whenever you have to set some kind of rule, they want to rebel about that. Amen? Well, it's no different on jobs. It's no different in church. It's no different in the kingdom of God. When God begins to speak to our life and tell us that we need to not do something, oh, wait a minute. It's fine when he's telling us we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. But when he tells us not to, amen. That's why he said, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. There's some things we don't touch. But rebellion makes us want to touch them. I explained to you one time about how you have all these toys down here with these children, with a child down here. And he can have 100 toys down there. And you can take one and set it right here and says, now don't you touch this one. He'll forget all them and he wants that one. Why? Because of rebellion. Because of that that's in him from the garden of Adam and Eve. And so we've got to be watchful in our lives or that rebellion will rise up in us. Amen. It's still in us because we're in the flesh. So we've got to watch out for that. Amen. Rebellion comes from the word rebel. And rebel is a person who fights against authority. Not going to tell me what to do. I'm a rebel. Amen. You seen those kind? And rebellious means defying authority. He says in 2 Peter in the 2nd chapter in verse 10, he says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise what? Government. They despise authority. They don't want anybody telling them what to do because they're walking in the flesh and they're pleasing to the flesh. Anytime you begin to correct your flesh will rebel. Amen? Tell it not to eat. And what does it do? Drive you nutty. Amen? Your flesh will rebel. And we in a warfare, Paul addresses that in the 7th chapter of Romans. The last part, he says there's this warfare going on, and you're the flesh against the spirit. Amen. Flesh against the spirit. And they're warring. But whichever one wins out determines where you're going to spend forever. If you allow your flesh to win out, you're going to hell. But if you allow your spirit man to dominate the flesh and make the flesh be your transportation to do the will of God, you're going to heaven. Amen? That's just the way it is. We see, let me read the rest of the scripture. And despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Amen? They're self-willed. I'm going to do it my way, what I want to do. Amen? All right, let's go over to Psalms 107, and let's look at Israel and compare it here to me and you. And we can see our lives in this, and this through rebellion. Remember when we was in sin, we all rebelled, right? Let's do a little teaching tonight. We'll just kind of go along and put it along with these scriptures. Listen, Psalms 107 in verse number 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Remember when we was out there? Remember when we wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way? They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Remember, that's the way we was. Amen. What happened? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Amen. And he led them forth by the right hand, and that they might go to the city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works of the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Amen. But what happens? Whenever we was out there in sin, we was rebelling against God's ways. But what happened? We got so in trouble and so down and out and destitute. And what did we do? We cried out to the Lord, and he heard our cry. And then it said, oh, that men would praise God for his goodness and his wonderful works toward man. Amen. But what happens? We come to God, and what happens? We cool down and we get settled down, and we're not careful. Rebellion will start kicking back in, and we'll start kicking back on God. Amen. That's what he's talking about. It says in Deuteronomy in the 32nd chapter, verse number 10, he said he found him, talking about Israel, in a desert place. That's where he found me and you, right? In a howl, in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him, talking about Israel here. He kept him as the apple of his eye. I mean, this is what God does to me and you every day, right? Right? As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Amen. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock. This is what he did to Israel. Listen to it. Butter of kine and milk of sheep and fat of lambs and rams of the breed, goats and the fat of the kidneys of the wheat. Amen. That thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun, that's Israel. He calls him Jeshurun here. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Amen. I see that in church people. I see how God takes people. Amen. And he takes them out of sin. They kicking against a prick, and he gets so down and low, and God brings them into the kingdom of God. He cleans them up. He starts blessing them. He starts leading them in the right way. He starts blessing their home and their lives spiritually. They're growing. And what happens? They begin to wax fat. That's what happened to America. Amen. That's what's happened in the churches in America. They begin to wax fat. Amen. Like Israel did. That they begin to wax fat and kicked. They kicked against the ways of God. They begin to rebel against God. Did he not do that? We read read it in Israel all the time. And we read it in the Bible of men and it has examples all the time. And we see the stories of where they ended up. And yet we human beings, Christians of today, will come to God and God will begin to bless us. And He'll just bless us and we begin to get wax fat. And we'll start kicking against His rules and kicking against holiness and kicking against, righteousness and rebelling. Amen. Sounds like the church world today, don't it? Don't tell me how to live. This is 2009. I'm not. The Word of God says it. I'm only the messenger. Don't get mad at the messenger. Amen. They waxed fat and they kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. That they don't have any feeling. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abomination provoked they him to anger. I'm talking about rebellion tonight. What is rebellion? It is a defying of authority. Whenever we come to God, we must submit our lives to God. I'm not my own anymore. I cannot do the things that maybe the flesh, my flesh would crave after, amen. Why? Because I have to live an image of the one that has called me, amen. Amen. That's why we have teachings in the church, amen. Because teachings are not for the ones who are righteous and holy. Amen. The same way you read it. I read it today over in, Romans, I think it was. It says, the law is not for the righteous. It's for the unrighteous. The law out there on the road is not for your everyday law-abiding citizen, the one that drives responsible. It is for the maniacs and the idiots that's out there flying. Amen. Hello. I used to be one of them. All right, listen. Verse 17, it says, they sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not. To new gods that came newly up. They raised up their own. Whom your fathers feared not. It says, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. Wow. And hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, hated it, because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. Amen. Rebellion. Rebellion gets you there. Rebellion gets you put out of the garden. It got Adam and Eve put out of the garden. Rebellion will get you put out of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. You see, rebellion is when the Lord deals with us and convicts us. And we override that conviction. We're rebelling. And what that does, it callousizes your heart. And he's not going to come to you and tell you again. He's already told you. Amen. He's already told you. He's not going to tell you again. And if he's written it down in here, he's not going to tell you the first time. It's already right here. Amen. Glory to God. Moses called Israel, you know what he called them? Rebellious and stiff-necked. That's what he called Israel. He says, you're rebellion, always rebelling against God. You're stiff-necked, rebellious. Amen. That's the same way we were when we was in sin. Somebody would try to tell us how to do right. And we would stiffen our neck. I ain't doing it. No, I'm not going to do it. Right? I'm not the only one in here tonight like this, right? Come on. Phew, I thought I was the only one in here preaching to myself. Could have stayed home, done that. Y'all listen? Okay, all right, thank you. Thank you there, brother. Moses told them it was rebellious and stiff-necked, but Stephen told them the same thing over in the book of Acts in the 7th chapter, verse 51. He said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye." You're no different than Israel, amen? You're no different than the ones back there in the wilderness. You're no different. You're always stiff-necked and resisting the Holy Ghost, amen? That's a bad thing to do, isn't it? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I remember over in Jeremiah, you read it when you get home, in the 28th and 29th chapters, it talks about two men. One of them in 28th chapter, one in 29th chapter. One of them was Hananiah, and he died because he was teaching people how to rebel. Wow. In other words, what was he doing? He had classes on it? No. He was himself rebelling and others was learning from his walk. Amen? So don't be rebellious. Amen. The other one was Shemaiah. Shemaiah, Shemaiah. And he, I don't know if he died. It didn't really say in there, but he was departed from Israel. And his name was not associated with them anymore, nor his children. And they didn't see and inherit the blessings of God because he taught rebellion. Neither he nor his children. Wow. Wow. It's amazing, isn't it? That's why we see, you know, generation after generation of parents that rebel. What happens to their children? They rebel. They're in sin. And from generation to generation, it's sinners and sinners and sinners. But if you come to God, amen, and quit rebelling against the word and accept the word of God, amen, then you break that. You break that cycle. Amen. And then from generation to generation to generation, people are serving God. Amen. Wow. I'm living example. There's some in here. Amen. Thank God for that. Say, well, my mom, my daddy didn't serve God, but you are, and you're breaking the cycle so that your children could live for God. Amen. Psalms 107 and verse number 10. It says, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Remember when you was in sin? Isn't that a picture? Isn't that a picture of it? Sitting in darkness and the shadow of death, being bound in afflictions and iron. There's people out there even tonight. It says, verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness into the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Remember what God did to you? Did he not bring you? How many did he bring you out of darkness? Amen. Did he not break all the bonds and the chains and the, you know, the grip that Satan had on you? He said, well, if he did, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in asunder. Amen. I mean, God has delivered us. Why would we want to go back to that? I see people where God has delivered them, I mean, from near death and delivered them out from the grips of Satan. And they come to God and God begins to mature them and grow them. And then they begin to rebel and begin to, you know, go after the lust of the flesh and rebel and kick against the word of God or the people of God and the ways of God. And directly they're back out there again. Why? Because they didn't praise God. Well, what's that mean? I got to raise my hand. No, praising God is living his word, being example, being the living word before me and living righteously on this earth. That's praise to God. God, letting God bless us That's what he's telling us. That's what he's talking to us about. Amen. Isaiah 45:1. He said, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. He's calling the anointing. That's what he calls us now. Whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leave gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Listen to it. I mean, he brought us out of darkness, and people are out there in darkness looking for treasures and they can't find it. But we've come to the light, and he says, I'm going to give you the treasures of darkness. I don't know why people can't see it. I can't imagine why people want to go back to darkness. I can't understand for the life of me why everybody on this world would not want to serve God. It just blows my mind when I see people who don't want to serve God. It's amazing. Or either rebel against God or his ways. Amen. Once I've come to the light, I couldn't see before when I was in sin because I was in darkness. But I came to the light. He says, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Wow. That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. He called him anointed. And that's what he calls me and you. That's why he tells there in Psalms, he said, touch not mine anointed, nor do my prophets any harm. Amen. Them are my people. Amen. You leave my people alone. Them are my people. And I'm going to bless my people. Amen. Amen. Oh, that men would praise him. Amen. Remember over there in 2 Kings when Elisha was about to die. And I think it was Jeshurun came to him and king. And he came to him and Elisha told him, he says, take your bow and arrow. You remember the story? Take the bow and arrow. Put your hands on it, put the arrow in the bow, and pull it back. And when he did, Elisha put his hands on Jeshurun's hands, right? Joash's hands, that's who it was, Joash. Put his hands on Joash's hands. And he pulled it back and he says, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And he shot it, right? And he says, now take the arrows and beat them. On the ground. And he took the arrows and he went, dum, dum, dum. And he quit. And it angered Elisha a little bit. He said, at least you should have gone 4 or 5 times. I mean, not just 3 times, kind of like, dum, dum, dum. But man, you should have been beating that ground because that's how many times that you're going to beat the enemy. Amen. And it's kind of like that with mine in your life. How that we rebelled in sin, but God brought us out, did he not? And what did he do? He told us to put our hands on the bow or on the calling or on the plow. What did he say in Luke 9:62? No man putting hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We put our hand on the plow and he puts his hands on our hands. Come on, come on. And we begin to do a work, amen. And not just 3 generations, but 4, 5, 6. I wonder how many generations of my generation or your generation down the road that they'll still be serving God. Are we busy enough and strong enough and sincere enough with God, amen, and sold out enough for God that our children want to serve God because they see the sincerity in us, and our grandchildren see the sincerity in us, and our great-grandchildren will hear about the sincerity that we had. Remember your great-granddad David Whitfield. He was a man of God that served God. Remember Steve Creel, your great-great-granddaddy. Amen. Do people, how many generations you wanted to go? Well, it's how sincere you are, or it could die with you and your children die with you too, lost. Amen. We cannot rebel against the ways of God. We've got to get sold out and sincere in what God, what you want me to do is what I'll do. Not my will, Lord, your will. Not what I want, not the worldly things. What you, Lord, what can please you, Lord? It's what I'm all about, God. so that I not only make it to heaven, but my children make it to heaven, and my grandchildren make it to heaven, and my great-grandchildren, and their children, and their children, and their children. Why? Glory to God. I was on the internet this morning, so I typed in my dad's name in our hometown, and boom, it came up, and Ancestry.com came up, and it said, my great granddad and grandma, William Whitfield and Sarah Sally Elliard was her name. And then it lists all their children on there. My granddad was on there. Clarence Perry Whitfield, married to Ida Beatrice Bryant. LaVon's married to a Beatrice Bryant too. Ida Beatrice Bryant. And then it lists all their children. My dad was in a Reverend Thomas Whitfield. Amen. Apparently that internet's amazing sometimes. I mean, there's some junk on it. I don't go on it much. I just go to stuff like that. A lot of people go hunting that junk on there. Don't you do that. You better burn it if you do. It's amazing. Tina sent me an email of Google Maps the other day. She said, click on this. And I clicked on it and went, bing. And it looked like somebody standing out in my driveway, a picture of my house. I said, whoa. I just went to Somerville and drug it down over Somerville Lumber. And I clicked Street View and I'm standing out in the road looking at Glenn Little's truck in the Somerville Lumber yard there. Go to Street View. You'll be right outside your house. Look at your house. Amen. They got technology, my friends. Oh, Antichrist is set up. The time is near. The time is here. It's not a time to rebel. Mm-mm. They put a little thing under your skin and know right where you at all times. No hiding place. You can't hide. Technology is here. It's amazing. Clicked it on the church here and looking at the church. And it's got a little circle there and you can click it. And I'm looking at the church and I can pan around. See down 78, turn on around. And of course, I'd be turning that way. We see it in Jedburgh Baptist over there. Just like you're standing in the middle of the road looking. Then you walk on down the road. Keep airing down. You see everything. It's amazing. Yeah. And need the wife to have one? Yeah. Yeah. Well, the technology's coming. That wasn't live, but they got the military, the government's got it live. They can see you right what you do. They read your tag number. I hear you. Don't want to keep up with you, amen. How many generations will your life affect? Amen? How many generations? How strong is your testimony? Think about it. Psalms 107:17, it says, fools because of their transgression. That's what we were, wasn't it? And because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their soul aborteth all and hated all manner of meat. And in other words, they could find no satisfaction. They tried everything. And they drew nearer to the gates of death. Nothing could satisfy them. They found no satisfaction. Mick Jagger's been singing since the 60s. I can't get no satisfaction. Though I've tried and I tried and I tried and tried and then tried. I can't get no. No, no, no. The old guitar guy up there played it. I don't know his name, but he looked like he was 190 years old, I guess. Sin will make you age, buddy, I tell you. It says 19, it says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved him out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. See, all these, really, this is Israel, picture of Israel. They would come to God and go away, come to God, go away, come to God, go away. But in these, we can see our lives. And we can see in different places and where we was and where, if we rebel, we'll be back too. It says, verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Amen. I mean, when we come to God, we're going to have to sacrifice a few things. Believe it or not. That's why Jesus said, count the cost. It's going to cost you something to serve God. I mean, this mentality of the church world today is free, free, free. Everything's free. You just do as you want to do, and God loves you, and God loves everybody, and every funeral you go to, everybody goes to heaven. But no, my friend, this thing, this salvation costs Jesus Christ a big price. And for me to live like He lived, it's going to cost me something. Sometimes it says it'll cost you your family and your friends, amen? And yea, your own life. It costs. And you need to sit down and count the cost if you have sufficient to finish it, amen? So He said, let them sacrifice with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is through obeying God. I'm so thankful for God that I will obey Him. Amen. That's my sacrifice, that I will obey Him. I just simply obey Him. He don't have to beat me over the head. Just ask me now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He said in 1 Samuel in the 15th chapter, verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Amen. You see, when we obey God, then we have His blessings. See, this is the time there in the 15th chapter. Read the whole thing when you get home. Saul was supposed to kill all of Agag and all the animals and everything else. And he didn't. He took King Agag and some of the choice animals and some of the people. He disobeyed God. He rebelled against God's word. See, so often, because he rebelled because he didn't see any sense of killing all them animals when he could have brought them back and maybe sacrificed them to the Lord, maybe. You know, that's what he claimed. I don't know what he... But he brought the king back because, maybe the king was, a pretty good guy or something. I don't know. And so to him, to destroy all that didn't make sense. But God said to do it. And so often we try to reason when God is instructing us how to walk. And we say, well why I got to do that? It doesn't make sense. Doesn't your children do that? When you tell them something, what's the first question they say? Why? Why? You may not have a perfect answer for it right then. It's just that you know better. It's just, I used to tell them because I said so. Hello? If I had time, I'd sit down and explain it to them. But, of course, they didn't learn not to ask why too many times around me. Because I'm a nice guy. Amen. Some of y'all seen my temper. Everybody's got a temper, don't you? Don't y'all get it? Ain't y'all got a temper? Yeah. Amen. So we all, we can't point fingers at one another, can we? So he says, it didn't make sense. But he had already told Samuel, oh yeah, I've done exactly what God said to do. And he said, if you did that, what's the bleeding of the sheep and the lowing of the cattle are here, kind of here. I mean, if you've been doing everything you're supposed to be doing, what's all the noise in your life? Where's your joy at? Oh, yeah, I've been doing everything God asked me to do. I just can't make it. Have you? I hear some lowing and some bleating of sheep. Come on now. Don't be like, I didn't hear all that. I wish I'd heard all that. You said somebody had said that they had all kind of trouble, and all they got's Jesus. Like, oh, well, all I got's Jesus. I mean, I'll take that if nothing else. Isn't that pitiful? Man, hear some people talk about God. Man, this is the best thing I ever got a hold to. It's like the woman that stand up and testify in church and says, you know, devil been on my back and been riding me and giving me a hard time and just, you know, giving me all kind of fits and always in every corner I turn riding me. And I just had so many problems and I want y'all to pray that my husband would get what I got. Who would want it? Who would want that kind of salvation? Who would want it? You couldn't give it away. I mean, there's some people that way. You hear them talk more in their testimony how the devil done this, the devil done this, the devil done this, and I thank the Lord for saving me. And they sat down. They talked 30 minutes about the devil and thank the Lord for saving me, and that's it. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. If you'd praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men, my friend, and continue to do that, you'd begin to get some joy in you, some strength in you, and God would beside you, amen? It's just like a lot of times, you know, when I was at work, you know, and I know the world will draw from you. It's like, see, what church is like, what I like in church too. That's why I'm so big about coming to church. It's like a battery in your car. You take, and every time you turn that starter on or turn on a light in your car or something, you're drawing juice out of that battery. And if you don't have an alternator on there that's putting juice back in, you can get by a while, but you're going to be stranded somewhere on the side of the road. Amen? And that's the way it is. The world will suck juice out of you and life out of you. I don't believe that. Well, what? Jesus was there and he was teaching and that woman came up and touched him. What did he do? He turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And Peter said, "There's plenty to hear people touch me." He said, "No, I felt virtue go out of my body." I'm telling you, the world will pull it out of you. And you'd find Jesus occasionally going off aside somewhere and charging his battery back. Did he not? He would get alone and he'd get his battery charged back. Remember it said when he returned from the wilderness, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Amen. He was charged. And when we come to church, we get our batteries charged. I've come home from work and the world pulling out, and I'm sure he does you the same way, pulls and drains. How many sometimes at the end of a day you feel like somebody has sucked most of the energy out of it? Well, my friend, don't do anything. I have come home from work starving. I mean starving. And I've got my Bible and I go to the bedroom and close the door and I open it and just start reading, anything. It's like eating food and begin to pray. And I'm telling you, it's like God was a million miles away, but I keep on seeking and praying and reading the word, and I'm telling you, he was 1,000 miles away, and I keep on it, he's 100 miles away, and I keep on it, it's right down the street, and I keep on it, it's right beside of me with his arms around me. But let me tell you, he was there all the time. You see, I just didn't know it. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Amen. He was there all the time. Amen. Y'all been there too? Ooh, God is so good. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. You ever seen somebody sit down there at the table that wasn't hungry? They pick that food to death. That's the way people come to church and they're not hungry. They'll pick your messages to death. Amen? But if they hungry, you can throw anything at them. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. When they hungry... He said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they'll be filled." Psalms 34:10 said, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord." You see, the young lion don't know how to seek. "But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Amen. Isaiah 55:1. He says, "Ho, everyone that
that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and ye labor for that that satisfied not? Amen. I'm telling you, in the world, they can't find any satisfaction. Mick Jagger, if he could just come to the Lord, he wouldn't sing that song never again. He'd change it. He said, I have found satisfaction. I have found satisfaction. I ain't got to look for it no more. I have found satisfaction. Amen. Listen, he says, hearken diligently unto me and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Amen. Psalms 107 verse 23. It says, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. Now, Matthew Henry says that he's talking about the mariners, people that goes out in the seas and stuff. But I know in the Bible, when they say many waters, talking about people, waters is people. So when you go out among many people, that you go out into the world and you do business out in the world, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, and which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, that they go down against the depths, to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at the wit's end. I just said it. We go out into the world every day among many people. We hear the gainsaying of the wicked. We hear the words. We're out there in the world every day. Amen. It can draw from you. It can, you know, pull from you. Amen. And if you're not watchful, you'll be at your wit's end. But he said in Galatians 6 and 9, he said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. If we faint not, don't die. Amen. Hold on. Amen. They might pull from you. Come on. And they might discourage you. And sometimes they might let you down. Come on. But I'm telling you, I serve one that'll never leave you nor let you down. Amen. But he'll always satisfy you. That's what God is. Oh, that if we'd just praise him. Amen. Deuteronomy, remember what he said? Deuteronomy, it says, let me go on here. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Come on. You might get tired of telling them. You might get tired of hearing them laugh at you. You might get tired of hearing them say, I don't want to hear it, but tell them anyhow. Amen. Come on. Jesus, I'm sure, got tired going up to Golgotha's hill, but he didn't stop. He went all the way and he finished the work. I want to hear that word too. I've finished. I've kept the faith. Amen. I've finished my course. Amen. Paul said it. I want to say it. You want to say it. Amen. I want my generation after me, if the rapture don't take place. It said he endured unto the end. He kept preaching to the end. He stayed faithful unto the end. He never changed. I see some people that, well, they used to be one way a few years ago, and now there's something else, my friend. There's some change that had been made in there in them. Amen. Not for the good. I'm talking about people that has been in church. I'm not talking about, I know it's a change in all of us when we're in sin, but I'm talking about years ago in the church. I remember when I was little, brought up in church, brought up in the church of God and holiness and righteousness, amen. And I seen the people, I seen them with my physical eyes, and I seen them in the church and what they looked like, the outward appearance, if you will. And I seen them, and when I got 16 or 17, Brother David, you know, moved out and got on my own out there, you know, and got married and all this, and quit going to church. And it was about 15 years that I didn't get back in church. And when I came back into the church, I began to see the church in a different way. It wasn't the same old church that I used to come up in. It was the same name on the door, but the people inside had changed. Amen. They had grown fat. They had gone away from the ways of God. But I want it said about me that the way he started out is the way he finished it. Amen. He didn't change. He didn't get it watered down. He didn't take up the world. He didn't live like the world. Amen. Amen. I I want to make it. Don't you? I want to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. Psalms 107 verse 28. He says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Wow, we got to the place. You know, you can get to a place with God that he'll give you your desires of your heart. Come on now. I've heard some people say, well, you pray and God will say yes, no, or maybe. I've heard people say, well, he won't give you what you want. He'll give you what you need. I mean, you've heard that stuff, haven't you? Corinthians says that he'll give us our wants. That's what he said. Around the fifth chapter. And Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Wow. Well, I don't know, brother. What does that mean? What was your desire? I was visiting my mom and dad over when they lived in the area there where we got saved in that church, Freedom Church of God, Commerce Church, Georgia. And Sister Connie and I was still in the bed, and there was another couple that had come up from the middle part of Georgia and spent the night there. And him and my dad was on the front porch talking about how good God was. And one of the scriptures Daddy always liked was that in Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And he got to talking about that, I guess. And the guy said, you know, I got just about everything I desire. I said, but the only thing I'd like to have is maybe an 11-point buck that I could mount. 11-point buck. They just sat on the front porch. What woke me up is them in there getting the rifle out. What had happened? They sitting there, and right after he said that, there's this big field across the road there, and a big old 11-point buck come jumping across that field. He ran there and got the rifle, went over the hill, kind of went over like this, the field. Went over, shot it, and got it. Well, I don't believe that, Brother David. I didn't tell it for you to believe it to start with. I told it because it's the truth. I was there. God's big enough if we're faithful enough. Amen? God's big enough if we're faithful enough. Now, if God would do that for him, what would he do for you? But the first part of that Psalms 37:4 is delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight means pliable. It's like putty or dough. Let him shape you. Huh? Delight thyself or be pliable, that God will shape you into what he wants you to be. Then he'll give you the desires of your heart. So you got to understand the word. Don't just take part of it and run with it. You got to eat it all, don't you? He says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Remember Deuteronomy 32:15, I said a while ago? But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat and grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him. You ever heard people say, well, I used to think it was wrong, but I don't feel nothing wrong with it anymore. How many, you've ever heard people say that? Right there's the scripture, they've grown thick. They have no feeling.
It's kind of like this right here. You take your earlobe there and pinch it hard as you can, or right there on your skin and pinch it hard as you can. You can't feel it. I mean, pinch it. Take it. Reach over and pinch it more. Pinch, pinch, pinch. Pinch, pinch. Can't feel it, can you? That's why he talks about people with past feeling. It goes on in Psalms 107, and I'm finishing up. And it says, listen to this about God. You can read it when you get home, but I'm going to give you a little jest. It goes on down. It said God could do anything. How many believes God could do anything? What's the old song? My God can do anything. Anything, anything. My God can do anything. He made the earth with all its glory. Help me in all the fullness. Help me, help me. Y'all don't know it? And all the time will shall bring, my God can do anything. Boy, that's old. I sang it in the 80s. What a man. Take a break. Help us, Lord. Where'd I park my car? It's kind of like the three guys that's talking and said, I have a problem sometimes, you know, remembering things. I kept myself at the refrigerator and I can't remember if I just put something in or was I fixing to get something out. Ludden says, you know, I have the same problem. Sometimes I catch myself at the bottom of the stairs and I can't remember if I just came down or was I fixing to go up. The last one said, well, fellas, I don't have that trouble. Come in. God can do anything. God can make rivers a wilderness. And he can make a wilderness rivers. Wasn't we a wilderness? But yet he said, out of our belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. But on the other hand, my friend, we rebelled. We can go back to the wilderness. How long did Israel stay in the wilderness? He put a river in them, but the river dried up. They stayed in the wilderness. Amen. He could take well springs and make them dry ground, but he can take dry ground and make well springs. Amen. He can take the fruitful land and make it barren, and he can take the barren land and make it fruitful. My God can do anything. Oh, man. God is awesome. Don't kick against God. Amen. Don't kick against God. Proverbs 13 and 15 in closing. He said, good understandeth giving favor, but the way of transgressors are hard. You ever heard some people say, it's hard to live a Christian life? How many has ever heard somebody actually say that? It's hard to live a Christian life. The Bible don't ever say that. It said the ways of a transgressor is hard. What they're doing is they're not really living Christian life. They're straddling the fence. It's hard to straddle the fence. Amen. Hard to straddle the fence. Yeah, tear your britches up, don't you? Amen. Come on, stand with us. Father, we love you tonight.